It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona. It's very nice. We had a lot of rain last night. Man, it woke me up about midnight. Dang, we have lots of water. Of course, if it falls on your land, it's not yours. It belongs to, I don't know, somebody else. The Lord done give you some water. Manna was falling from heaven, and if it landed on your property, it belongs to somebody else. You're not allowed. You think I'm kidding? You know, this is happening. This is a big case in Colorado already. You know, you start collecting your own rainwater, they're going, no. That belongs to not you. Okay, man, it just keeps getting worse. You know, what we're going to do today, is Christmas Eve Eve. So everybody's busy and out doing stuff. Tomorrow, I'll give you a nice Christmas present, okay? Let me tell you what's going on today. In the second hour, we have Martin Alderman. Now, he is talking about, he gave a presentation in October of this year to banking industry, and he told them what was what. And he's like, I don't know what they're telling you in your little meetings and so on, but it's over, man. And they go, no. So we're going to be talking to him. And we have so much negative news on the Federal Reserve, financing, the dollar, how the foreclosures are going to take down the banks, and who's going to save them? Europe? The Euro? Federal Reserve? Dollar? How? How are they going to? This has been a can that's been kicked down the road since the 70s, and wow. And Ben Bernanke's what? Mr. Helicopter Ben, he's like, yeah, you know, we got pallets and helicopters, man, we're just dumping some money. Well, what's going to happen? Well, Austrian economics knows what's going to happen. It's going to be uber inflation. You know, we're here in Phoenix. Yep, gasoline's back over $3 again. Here we go. Gasoline's going to hit, oil's going to hit over $100 a barrel any day. It's already 92 or something. And I didn't even look. It may be over 100 already. And if it's not, it will be. And, you know, silver's going to keep going up. Gold's going to keep going up. So what do you do? You know, I mean, if you want to have, you know, I had someone in today who was training them on doing their special editions on Freedom's Phoenix and so on and participating in this silver to bullets thing, wallet voting that we're working on and such, and we're getting things all ready for that. You'd be ready for that beginning of the year. And what we're talking, you know, just to show them that a 64 or older quarter is $10, what? I better be checking my pockets. Yeah, you better be. So this is, you know, a lot of things are, you know, we're getting all prepped up for the beginning of the next year, but we're just kind of cruising through the holidays here. Now, what I'm going to do tomorrow, in the first hour here, I'm going to play a couple of clips that will be Judge Napolitano talking about the Federal Reserve and what to expect. He and Thomas Woods, I have two videos. They're not very long, but they're give you an idea what to expect from the Federal Reserve and what role Ron Paul might have in as head of the subcommittee that's going to slap around Bernanke. And how long do we got to wait before we see some results, or if there's going to be any, or is there anything he can do? I mean, really, the main thing is just, I told you so. Is that what we're going to get out of this? Well, that might be enough. It's better not. So we need to understand what is available out there to replace the monetary system that we have now. Now, they're going to offer a solution. They're going to come and say, we know what you need. You need our new second version of the different kind of starting whatever thing. You know, the world, though. That's what we need. And I'm going, no, that's not what we need. Now, we need to make sure that we have a very, very clear understanding of what money is. And if we don't have it now, by the time we do have the understanding, we'll have missed the opportunity to take advantage of it, because a lot of people are. I tell you, a lot of the central banking guys, you think they're not, you know, oh, I tell this story because it's so good and it's short. I was taking video of the girls were, it just happened to be a bunch of the women here in the Lovevolution. My wife, Donna, Renee and Michelle and Renee, the other Renee, and you know, a bunch of the girls and Jean and all of them. There's probably 7-8 women were making signs one time in my backyard. And they're having fun out there. They're just doing the girl thing. Well, I'm going, wow, you want to know where all the women? Get the video camera. And I get the video camera out. We got to show, oh, those are all the women are. They're here making signs. Just so happens. So as I'm doing that, they're making one of the signs that said, "End the Fed." No. It was "The Fed did it." And it says, "The Fed did it." It had an arrow pointing down with a dollar sign. So it made the dollar go down or whatever. You know, "The Fed did it." Did what? I don't know. So I asked Renee Houlihan, I said, "Renee, you know, on camera, I go, the Fed did it. The Fed did what?" She goes, "They printed money and bought gold with it." How simple is that? You know, and they who bought the gold? Well, I don't know who they gave the money to. You know, so the banks, you know, there's a lot of manipulation stuff going on. They think they can make money, a lot of them, by selling things short. Then they got to take delivery. People are wanting their actual bullion. Do they have it? They got caught behind this. I don't think they can extricate themselves from what's coming. We have the euro is about ready to go. Germany is not wanting to, they have a stronger economy there, and everybody's folding. And we've got to have the euro. Well, guess who has the money? Well, it's like the Federal Reserve, you know, here in the United States. Well, they're going to Germany. You guys got to live a much lower standard of living to save your brethren over here that don't even speak German. So, you know, it's going. It's going, 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 going. As soon as it's going to be gone, where are you going to be? So in the second hour, we're going to go ahead and talk about the massive wave of foreclosures that are still, people are just walking away from their homes. But how does that have an impact on the banking system? The banking system does not have the capacity to process these homes, this many accounts. They got to find out who owns the dang thing. You know, that's where a lot of this paperwork deal is. They're just trying to get judges to go, yeah, whatever, who got here first? I have people that have come to me and said, "Ernie, I have had 3, even 4 banks." I mean, it's an average of at least 2 to 3 banks that have offered renegotiations on their, well, which one is it? Who am I dealing with? So they have servicers, you know, people you're sending your money to. So you write them letters and you go, okay, I might want to, you know, do this or refinance or pay off or something. You just tell me who it is I'm supposed to be talking to. I'm all over it. Until then, don't bother me. You never hear from them again. There have been some people, prominent individuals, names you know, people around here running for office and people that are activists and people that are professionals and so on, haven't paid a mortgage payment in over a year. Some of them almost three years. How do you deal with these people? What kind of impact does this have on the banks? Well, that's what we're going to be talking to Martin about in the second hour. He's like, this is going to bring them down just to be able to process. Banks are not real estate holding companies. That's not what they do. They're not foreclosure experts. They're not auctioneers. They're not, you know, they farm that out to somebody. And it has cost available. I mean, they're incurred by that. So what do? They just have people just stay in their homes. It's cheaper for them. They would rather you just stay there and have somebody not steal the copper, the appliances, especially bigger homes. We have stories up in Freedom's Phoenix. The homes that are over $5 million, I mean, you know, these big homes, well, I mean, they have many payments on these, and you never even hear from the bank. They know the second that somebody even goes out of there, what happens? Hey, it's back up there at U-Haul, and somebody's taking all the appliances, all the granite, all the stainless steel microwaves and refrigerators and ranges. I mean, this is what's going to happen. Well, you know, when do we come to a realization? It's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. We're going to play some stuff for you, get you up to speed and ready for Martin. Oh, and Pat Robertson on this marijuana thing. Oh, you got to hear that, too. We'll be right back. Oh, and I got a Christmas present for you tomorrow.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, some good news for me here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I've been trying for a long time to get Burt Rutan to come on, or Richard Branson, or Paul Allen, somebody on the spaceship thing. You can always get them when they write a book. You know, they always got publishers are like, you will do interviews. I don't care. You get off your workbench, go do interviews. Well, I got like next best thing. Michael Bjort right here. Rocketeers, man. He's scheduled in January. We're going to have him on talking about privatization of space. I'm very excited. And he found out that we're the ones that did Spaceship One, Government Zero. And a chapter in there is named that. And they talk about, you know, Burt Rutan coming over and taking the sign from me and all that kind of stuff. And it's in Discovery Channel did a documentary on this and shows that and so on. So I'm very excited because I knew from the beginning what was going to happen. In fact, in the hangar after they had done that big party, all the billionaires and so on, we're in there holding up our signs. They thought we were part of the crew because we had signs, man. So we're up there holding this stuff. We're going to space. Government's not invited. Just standing there holding it up. And I've gotten a lot of conversations with the people. They were, a lot of them, now Burt was not one of these people, but a lot of the people were of the mind only in America. America, patriot, wearing flag jackets and so on, America, America, America. And I'm going, you know, I didn't want to, you know, kill their buzz, but I'm just going, you know, it's going to be America that's going to try and stop you. You know, you need to make sure that, you know, you're paying attention. They're going to try and regulate this. And then some of the people were of the mind, well, yeah, we can't just have anybody going into space. I'm going, ooh, man, tangled web you're going to weave here. So, you know, I got that. You know, there's some positive things to look forward to. And it's just once we get off this planet, oh, man, it's open. And they're starting to find and we just had on yesterday warp drive. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, I mean, what's amazing to me is as human beings, if we're – how like an angel. I mean, we are so just the fact that we can even imagine something, it's in the market. I tell my kids this a lot when they were growing up. I go, you just think of it and it'll come. I mean, you will conjure up whatever it is that you want in your mind. What do you want? Well, I would like, and it'd be cool if, and I go, I just thought it, you know, because you put that in dad's head. Let me think about it a second. That means 3-5 years, here it comes. Here it comes, and we just check them off. Check, 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 check. Here it comes. If you can think of it, here it comes. But there's always the man there wanting to, you know, tell you what you can and can't do with it, or whether you can do it. Ugh. So we got, you know, but we got to get this monkey off our back. Well, what's the monkey? You know, I remember a friend, you know, Rick Tompkins, he was a state chair of the Libertarian Party here in the 90s, and he ran for president in the 96 election against Harry Brown for the nomination. And I remember one Halloween, he had this a Halloween costume, and it had this monkey on his back and IVs coming out of his hands into the monkey. They were sucking him dry. Get this monkey off my back. It's bleeding me dry. I thought that was an appropriate Halloween costume. But, you know, you're going around to a bunch of, you know, MKers, America. They didn't get it. Oh, man, you're just being one of them. We've known. Well, let's go ahead and I want to get this in here. This is Judge Napolitano just the 21st, so a couple days ago. And then we had the one with Thomas Woods on there. Kind of, you know, what we're looking for, it's coming, what's happening. Kind of give you a little bit of history lesson, too. Here we go.
Does the government work for us or do we work for the government? Are the freedoms that are guaranteed by the Constitution truly guaranteed? Or are they subject to the whims of politicians and bureaucrats and secret central bankers? Tonight, what on earth has the government done to our money? A famous central banker once said, quote, if you give me control of a nation's monetary system, then I care not who writes its laws. In the United States, we have the rule of law. It's the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees that if you own property, which includes money, the government cannot just take it from you or diminish its value. The same Constitution guarantees that the government will not interfere with contracts you've signed and economic agreements you've made. And the same Constitution guarantees a free market economy. And a free market economy is one where producers of goods and services have as few barriers as possible to trade with consumers and no barriers from the government. It's one where the laws of supply and demand, not central government planning, regulate the market. Competition for goods and services is at the core of capitalism. People who advocate for free markets understand that it is competition that drives down prices and encourages producers to create a better product. So why is it that people who advocate for a free market in everything else don't support a free market in money? Ask yourself why we don't allow the government to set the price of shoes or bread or chocolate, but we do allow the government to determine the price or the value of money. The government does this by fixing interest rates, which is the cost of borrowing money. The history of central banking in the United States is a tumultuous one. The intellectual battle between Thomas Jefferson, who wanted no central bank, and Alexander Hamilton, who wanted Soviet-style central planning, has been playing out over the centuries. The battle between liberal economist John Maynard Keynes and free market champion Friedrich von Hayek still plays out today. Hayek was convinced that if we were ever again to have decent money, it would not come from the government. It would be issued by private enterprise. And Keynes argued that the government could produce prosperity with more control over our economic choices. We all know now that Keynes was wrong. Central banks are not necessary for a free market. In a free society, banks would have to compete for your business, and consumers would be free to choose a reputable bank. Instead, we have given control of our money to an unconstitutional and secretive Federal Reserve. Instead of supply and demand determining interest rates, like it does with the cost of shoes and bread and chocolate, the Fed dictates the value of money. The Fed would rather we stayed ignorant and disinterested in what it does to the value of our money. It doesn't want us to ask tough questions and deal with harsh realities about interest and credit. The job of the CIA and other intelligence agencies is to steal and keep secrets. Yet we know far more about what our intelligence agencies are doing than we do about what the Federal Reserve does. When private bankers can operate in secret with the authority of the government, they will enrich themselves and lessen the value of money for the rest of us. That is the Federal Reserve, and that is theft, pure and simple. Since the Fed came into existence nearly 100 years ago, the value of the dollar has gone down by 92%. Who would voluntarily stick with a bank that destroyed their savings? But there's hope. Grassroots outrage at the bailouts of AIG and General Motors and the United Auto Workers and others has fueled renewed interest in this topic, and central bankers have new reason to fear sunlight, daylight, into their operations. The modern-day Thomas Jefferson, Congressman Ron Paul, has been named the chair of the Domestic Monetary Policy Subcommittee of the House of Representatives. A movement of Federal Reserve abolitionists is coalescing behind Congressman Paul in support of his efforts to bring more light into the inner workings of the feds. The last time voter rage boiled over into the destruction of the central bank, Andrew Jackson was...
Yeah, we'll go ahead and finish that when we come back. Just got a little bit left. And then we'll get into Thomas Woods. What's going to happen? I don't know, but it's going to happen really soon. Hope you guys are ready. And tomorrow, it'll be a Christmas day. We'll just have some fun. But today, we get down to business. Business. We'll be right back with more business on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's very nice. I'm sure it's, you know, it's all about where it's nice for you to be. And a lot of times I tell you, it's family. You know, it's family, it's friends. You know, I got to keep pinching myself. I got to keep reminding myself. I got a loved and loving wife, family, grandkids. We're all, you know, we're getting ready. I mean, I've really been on my kids' case, man. How much food you got underneath your bed? Did you get some extra? You got kids now? How much silver you got? I mean, I've been on their case, and now they're like, you know, thanks, Dad. So they're doing, and our Christmases, Because, you know, it's probably been like 4 years. We do the Secret Santa thing. You know, who gets – and I got Sierra. You know, it's not secret anymore because I needed her help to pick out what she wanted. So we just have some people that you know, even some friends. You know, we have some close friends of the kids. You know, we do Thanksgiving. Whoever comes to Thanksgiving, put name in the hat. We pick one, and they get one nice gift. I mean, because we could spend gazillions of dollars trying to take it. But really, Christmas is more, you know, Donna really likes Christmas. I got Christmas music going on all the time. It's got Christmas carols playing with the fireplace burning on the TV on the wall. And we got, you know, I mean, it's just Christmas, Christmas, Christmas cookies, Christmas brownies, Christmas movies, Christmas. You know, so hopefully, you know, you got a Festivus for the rest of us, you know, and you can have just a good time and fun and enjoy yourself and just relax between now and then you party on New Year's Eve and then it's work. Work, 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 work. What we got to be working on. Let's go ahead and finish this up with Judge Napolitano here real quick.
The last time voter rage boiled over into the destruction of the central bank, Andrew Jackson was president. And he reasoned that that bank did nothing but benefit an elite circle of corporate and industrial interests at the expense of those who labor and save. He understood that by centralizing the power of currency into the hands of a private institution, it would inherently be corrupted by the government. Then it could be used to finance big government schemes at home and abroad. Sound familiar? In a famous statement, Jackson declared, quote, "You are a den of vipers, and I will rout you out." And by God, he did rout them out. And by God, we hope the leaders of the Tea Party today will learn this lesson. Focus their rage and use it to shine light into the den of vipers at the Fed. Light put upon the government will expose what it has done to steal the value of our money. Exposing government secrets will bring us freedom, and freedom will bring us prosperity. From New York, defending freedom every night of the week. So long, America.
You know, having the Judge Napolitano there is better than not. You know, this is one thing that I really like. I got to meet him a couple times, and we were both speakers at the Liberty Forum this last spring. And I heard from Ian Freeman. He said from LRN.FM, he's going, yeah, Naomi Wolf is going to be a speaker this coming year. So I'm going, wow, I might go just for that, because this is we're all in this together. The left and the right's coming in, and so on. Yeah, the Tea Party thing. You know, Dr. Paul and I last spring I was in Washington, and we, you know, got caught up a little bit, and he asked me my opinion on the Tea Party, and I had to go with Debbie Kidd's thing. You know, she was saying, yeah, controlled opposition. I don't know a better way to describe it. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, where's the right in this thing? You got polls all over starting to come up. At least now some of the, you know, probably most of the polls now include Dr. Paul as a candidate in 2012 for president. Should he run? Yeah. I'd support it. You know, it's just another speaking engagement. We put up a bunch of stuff. Daily Paul, dailypaul.com, Michael Nystrom's site, man, it's going to, you know, go ballistic again. I'm just doing well now. So I'm going, you know, this is where I got the video. This is where we're going to be able to have another input into the change of culture. How many minds have we freed in just the last couple of years? A lot. This is good. This is good, 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 good. But, you know, is it in time? No, probably not to save the dollar. Probably not to save the government as if we needed to. But we can save ourselves and our family and our friends. You know, we just start preparing. That's what I advocate. I just want to make sure that we're ready. Because if we're not, you know, we're going to suffer just like everybody else. And we don't need to. It's not necessary. Well, let's go ahead and do the this is a 4-minute segment. This is with Thomas Woods. I got time to do it. Yeah, I can probably get this in. Here we go.
The cause of the Great Depression.
Whoa. We got bad audio on that. I'll reload it up. In the next hour, when we have Martin Andelman coming in, we're going to get a look at how bad the banking system, because what's going to happen is Julian Assange made it clear that it's Bank of America that they're going to do the big dump on WikiLeaks. Bank of America has already, they've come up, their CEO, they started creating their own sites that has his name to, you know, what's his name, sucks.com. What's his name, gogethemwhatever.org. They're going to try, and I don't know what they're going to try and do. A lot of times, these guys don't understand how it is that this whole thing works. They don't understand that it's you and me. Just direct peer-to-peer communication on this stuff, bypassing it. We already have our infrastructure set. We already have the grapevine has grown a lot. And you put something that's of interest, something that's unique, boom, it's going to explode all over the internet. If it doesn't happen within 2 days, it's probably not going to happen. That's why on this wallet voting thing, the silver to bullets, we're getting everything ready now, because we know when it goes and we hit this in early January, boom, it's going to go or it's not. Well, we want to make sure it does. Get all aboard the love train. Well, that's what we're doing. Well, let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and load that back up a little bit. I'll give you a treat here. Here is it is Pat Robertson, and those of you that are younger, you probably don't realize what has been happening here. I give you kind of a heads up on what's been going on. I remember I was in high school in 79s when I graduated. So keep in mind, this is how this plays out. When Reagan ran for president, there was a question that they were able to insert into the political process. Are you a born-again Christian? Are you born again? Are you healed? Are you born again? Are you born? What the heck does that mean? Reagan was pretty good about it. He's going, I don't know. Do I have to be? I thought, whatever. So he kind of, pushed it off a little bit. But, of course, the Christian community got around him as compared to, I don't know, whoever else, they were worried about. The thing was is that they were able to embrace the Christian right as a political bloc. And there were people, names now, that you would hear. I can sling out a bunch of names. Doug Weed is a big one of these guys. He used that like a suitcase of votes. And I got my own opinion about Doug Weed. He came here to Arizona and did, and I got, stories. It doesn't matter. What happened was, is they were able to create a block of votes around, because who's more collective mindset than someone that's just, waiting for their pastor to tell them what's what? As you started to get the satellite television and you had the 700 Club and you started to be able to get, Christian Broadcasting Network, where Pat Robertson is, and this, where this clip's coming from. When you got into that ability to communicate with your followers, your brethren, and you want to maintain your seat in heaven, you be doing what you're told. Well, now they're shifting gears, and they don't do anything unless it's already been pre-approved, unless everybody's on board, unless if you got Chris Matthews saying GD on the air about carrying guns to protest and everything, he got approval for his outrage before he's going to do it. Well, Pat Robertson, I guarantee freaking to you, this has already been scripted. Here we go. No! I thought it was later the time. I'll play it when we come back. I pinky swear. We come right back. The Christian right is going to be endorsing the legalization of marijuana. You watch. You will not be able to get elected as a Republican unless used for God's plants, God's weed. Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't give you bad stuff to smoke, would he? We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, and the beautiful studios up. Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We got all kinds of goodies for you. Go check it out every day, all day. We probably have 50, 60, 70 headlines a day. I mean, it's like overwhelming, stuff. Have a wide variety of stuff, a lot of authors, a lot of writers, a lot of submitters. But, you get a bead. Get a beat on what's going on. Well, we'll get the Thomas Woods thing here in a little bit, and that'll be a good segue into our guest at the top of the hour talking about the banks are done, man. Done. Well, I want to go ahead and get this Pat Robertson thing in, because it's just so indicative, of what's coming. This is just how these guys roll. Here we go.
he's tough on crime, tough on crime. Lock him up, you know. And that's how these guys ran. And they got elected. But that wasn't the answer.
It really isn't working. And you know,
oh man, these guys! I'm gonna go ahead. And redo this because I want to see. It's really short. It should just play. We got internet problems here. Let's see if we can do it again.
Crime, tough on crime, lock them up. You know? And that's the way these guys ran, and they got elected.
Matt, they don't want you to hear it. This is what is going on. Pat Robertson goes up and says, you know, a lot of this is they have Christian ministries inside the prisons. They're finding that, from decades. I mean, how long did it take? How long do you have to do this? How many people do you have to run through the gauntlet of people that want to minister to people in the prisons? They go up and they say, hey, you know, I love you, brother. I love you. I want to help you. I want you to be, I want all good for you. Why are you here? I had a joint. Oh, so you come in as a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, and you come out as a hardened criminal. You think they don't see this? Well, it starts putting a lot of pressure on them. And it starts, you know, a lot of people, I'm bypassing. You have a whole other generation coming up with understanding that, you know, this is just not working. This drug war thing, but they used it as a moral issue. We have to legislate how you live your life. Well, they don't use a base understanding of what is and is not good. They base good on whatever some legislator did. That is bad because your betters has made it illegal. You can't do that. It's bad because they said it's bad. Bad, 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 bad. Okay, why is it bad? Don't care. No, I don't want to hear about it. And you hear this kind of stuff all the time. You know, what's the new one? And for the exact same reasons that you have Christian Broadcast Network. Let me tell you what this is prepping for. They're going to start decriminalizing marijuana at a federal level. Because it's happening all over the states already. They know the people. They're going to have to get behind this. You're going to have, you know, Tea Party people are going to be voting. You know, all of a sudden, but it won't be Dr. Paul's legislation. It'll be anybody else's. Now maybe he'll get a little extra, you know, credit for introducing. He always does, you know, something. But they're going to come in. But is it just going to be decriminalizing, you know, ragweed? Is it going to be decriminalizing, you know, crabgrass? Is it going to be decriminalizing basil? I mean, is it going to be decriminalizing oregano? No. No, 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 no. They're going to say, no, you have to have a permit, you know, for this. You got to have a tax stamp. You got to have a plant. You got to, you know, get permission for whatever. Oh, and by the way, it's got to go through the approved Philip Morris. We get to add chemicals to it thing. Yeah, you don't think so? You know, oh. Well, you know, this is one thing that was of interest. You had the ability to grow marijuana before. I mean, a lot of, you know, people in the movement, freedom movement, know this stuff. During World War II, they were hammering for you to do it. You know, we need it for rope, for the war effort. Okay? Well, you know, who was against that? I'll tell you who was against it. It was one of the things, it was DuPont or Dow. I mean, they came up with nylon. You know, you got competition for hemp rope, which is really cheap, and then you have a petroleum-based thing that, you know, we need to, you know, outlaw this. You got paper makers, you got, you know, the wood industry, you know, whatever industry that's always got some monopolistic ideas be in the back of their head and special interest, and we need to suppress this so we can maximize our profit here and whatever, and I got a legislator I need to give a couple of thou to. What happens when all this starts to crumble? It all goes away. Will it? How will it go away? What will be the reason that it goes away? It's going to come down to what it always comes down to. It's the economy, stupid. I remember in 1990 when they were gearing up for the election of 92, where you had Ross Perot, you had George Bush, and you had Clinton. During that time, what was happening? They were all, it was the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. So what did Bush do? He raised taxes. Read my lips, no new taxes. You know, some of the older guys, you probably remember that. That's when a lot of Republicans, certainly here in Arizona, left and went independent or even libertarian. The same kind of thing is already happening now. It is a cultural war. This is for how many minds can we free? I've been screaming this for 2 decades, and it doesn't, no, you got to get inside. If you're not inside, you're not going to be able to fix it. Well, now we're eliminating all the excuses. You replaced all the Democrats, get the Tea Party guys in there. Heck, we got even Ron Paul, you know, overseeing the Fed. What's going to be an excuse then? Well, Dr. Paul, I think, really understands the power of the cultural shift of education. You know, that's why I've been very supportive of him being the mouthpiece for a lot of this, because he does such a great job and understands that is the generation next that's going to be the ones that make a difference on this. It's you. It's me. It is technology. It is the ability for us as individuals to be able to communicate peer-to-peer and survive while we're doing it. You can't do anything if you're standing in the bread line for 3 hours a day. Ask any Russian that's been around for 20 years. You know, they go, look, I spend all my time just, you know, wanting to feed myself. Well, that's why the Renaissance was such a big point in human history. Think about it. It overlapped with the warming of Europe. Heck, man, they're growing, you know, vineyards in Great Britain. You know, this is, you know, France kind of moved north. You know, they're doing wineries up there. When you had the production of food was not a major concern for as many millions, tens of millions of people, what were they able to do? They had more leisure. You know, so then they got to eat. So if they're eating well, then they, you know, got extra time to do other stuff. Well, here comes the church. Oh, the church said, oh, you know, that extra money you got needs to go here. We need to build Notre Dame. You know, we need the Sistine Chapel. We need to pay Michelangelo for putting some really nice frescoes up. You know, all this art, all this wealth, all this money that went in, it's always a collective. Regardless of what your spiritual mindset is, you know, what you believe, what's personally happening, is, you know, whatever spirituality I have, it wasn't somebody told me what happened. It's whatever you experience on your own. And, you know, I wish I had more time to be more spiritual, to just sit and relax and quiet my mind. Because I there were years from about 19 to 22 in there, I didn't have a TV. I moved out. I didn't have a TV. I listened to classical music. I read a lot of books, and I had the best education in my life just reading. I wish I had more time to do that. So when somebody writes a book that I want to talk about, I have the author come on. We talk about it. But, you know, it's, I wish I had more time. If you have the time, devote it to feeding your mind. But what do you do it with? What's something that you would read? At the time, because I was getting hammered on so much, you know, you got a Mormon missionary at your front door every other day. You know, I finally decided, okay, I'm going to read this Bible thing. I had gone to church, you know, on and off throughout my life and so on. I just, all right, fine, we're going to give it what for. I read the Bible straight through twice. King James Version, because I thought I might be missing something. Then I did the Good News Version, and something easier to read. I got an understanding of what was going on. It's man trying to explain something, trying to learn. You can learn a lot from it, lots of history, but you got to go through it with an open mind and go, you know, crap, 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 truth. Truth, truth, crap, truth. I'm telling you, lots of history has been put down in a lot of works that you need to read. Feed your mind. Feed your brain. And I tell you where a lot of it is, Austrian economics. Well, we're going to talk about bank foreclosures and how it's going to affect the banks when we come back in a little bit. I'm sorry I didn't get these clips in, you know, the internet, man. Yeah, that's the way, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we're here, and you stay right there. We'll be back in just a little bit after the top of the hour news.